Flowery language is usually just a metaphor. However, on the first Sunday of every month at 3:30, this metaphor comes to life as words decorate the Tallahassee nursery. Sunday at the Word Garden has become a pillar of fellowship, communion, and community. And today, we chat with its stewards and facilitators. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and today, like every other day, we are joined with two incredibly special guests that are bringing with them an incredibly special topic. I am joined with Mary Jane Riles. Thank you for joining us, Mary Jane.
Thanks, Josh, for having us.
Absolutely. And I am joined by Anne Meisenzahl. Thank you for joining us, Anne.
Hi, Josh. Thank you.
These two incredible individuals both host something that I think has just been such a splendid part of this community for such a long, well, not such a long time. It's actually in its broad infancy. It's new, but it's also situated in a way where we are growing used to it, and we can't imagine living without it. It is Sunday in the Word Garden, an event that is hosted at the Tallahassee Nurseries. You know what? Let me stop talking. Mary Jane, would you introduce to the audience that may not know what Sunday in the Word Garden is?
Well, it's a place where people get together from around the community, even in communities outside of ours, like Thomasville, Quincy, Alligator Point, other nearby towns. Mm-hmm. And we have four writers who read for us. And I'm going to let Anne say more. She's better at that.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to give a shout out to Katie Tully because she was the brainchild behind the Word Garden, Sunday in the Word Garden at Tallahassee Nurseries. She's a visionary creative. And she got together with Paul Brock, who is the owner of Tallahassee Nurseries and a longtime friend of hers, with what they call an experiment in offering poems in the trees. Because anybody who's been to Tallahassee Nurseries knows what a gorgeous place it is. There's a gazebo that's fairly large that has little benches in it and hanging plants. And Katie often felt like that gazebo just was left sitting there not being used nearly as much as it might be. Mm-hmm. And so she, got excited about this idea of maybe bringing poetry, a monthly poetry reading, to offer solace in nature to the Tallahassee community. And it's really been a gift.
Sure.
Just as you were saying, Mary Jane, every month, either four or five writers, poets, memoirists, storytellers, come and present for maybe 15, 20 minutes to the audience. The Tallahassee Nurseries does a beautiful job of setting up chairs facing the speaker. And, you know, we've had 40, 45 people.
Absolutely.
Come at a time.
Every time I come, and I've been, I don't know, maybe six or seven times throughout the course of it, and every time I come, it's a robust crowd.
Yep.
I'm so glad that you guys mentioned Katie, because Katie was so ingratiated in this community that I believe, and it's just a hunch, that when she very publicly left and moved to Mexico, you know, there was an article about it, that a lot of people thought that Sunday in the Word Garden may have went with her. And so I hope that some people are illuminated to find out that not only is it still there, it's still kicking, it's still thriving. There's not one IV in its arm. It is healthy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. One of the things that you talk about when you talk about Mary Jane Riles and Anne and Katie is community. You guys are also not only members of this community, but it seems like you live your life by building community. Community is one of the favorite words of this programming. And I want to know from your perspective with the work that you do, how have you seen community being built? How does it feel to see it being built? And what's next?
Do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. What I find so wonderful about the Word Garden is that before things get started there, it starts at 3:30, but there are people earlier, and they mill around and they talk to each other. And then afterwards, they mill around and they talk even more to each other. And it's really a diverse bunch of people.
Absolutely.
From all around the community, depending on who's reading, because people send out messages about, you know, I'm going to read at the Word Garden, are you coming? And it's way more diverse than we've ever seen in this community.
The the types of people that you have reading are extremely diverse. Mm-hmm. But we would be remiss if we didn't say, you guys have some heavy hitters out there sometimes. You know, I've heard Mark Henson and Dan Taylor, Marianne Lindley, Terry Galloway. How do you guys decide who will be reading? Is it a request? Do people send in their request? How does that go?
I would say it's both. People come up afterwards who we've never met who say, ooh, I'm a poet. Can I read? Who we've never met, but we say, we'd love to read what you've gotten. Let's see. And usually invite them to come. Or we know folks who are wonderful and brilliant and invite them to come as well.
You're exactly right about that. I read out one time. And after I was finished, somebody from the audience said, hey, how did you get on that list? I'm surprised I get on any list. You have to talk to them. So let's get to some fun stuff. And all of this is going to be fun because the work that you guys are doing and upholding and stewarding is just really beneficial to this community. But since I've got writers and presenters in the room, I want to talk words. Words are such an underexposed form of art, especially when I think they weave into every form of art or almost every form of art. Since I got you in the room, I'm going to ask you, Mary Jane and Anne, what is your favorite word or what do you think is the most important word in the English language?
Currently, and in our milieu right now, our national, international even milieu, mine is buoyancy.
Buoyancy.
Because what happens is in buoyancy in science is that water can't stop a thing from rising to the top and not drowning. And I just think that's what we really need right now is that kind of not just joy, but also strength.
That is a beautiful answer. Anne, what would yours be?
I think my favorite word, even though it's going to sound like I planned this, but I didn't, is community. Mm-hmm. Seriously, I love, if you break it down, it's got the word come, like come join us.
Sure.
It's got unity, which is really desperately needed at this point in time. And I think community is an antidote to technology and isolation and separatism that we're feeling. It's an opportunity for people to really meet one another in person and up close. So
I really love both of those words. So buoyancy, let's talk about that for a second. It's the ability to stay afloat. Something like a word garden, hence its seeds, something that are buried so that something can come up. And they're not too, you know, separate from each other, but there is a different connotation. One is to be buried. One is to never be taken under. The seeds that you have planted in the word garden, whether it's with community, whether it's with literacy, whether it's with language, whether it's with art, culture, do you see them in real time or do they come to you in your quiet times and you say, you know what, I really am doing a good work?
There are four of us who do this.
Sure.
And it is, when it's your turn, it's a lot of like, oh, Lord, have mercy. What am I going to do, you know? And who am I going to ask? And but we are a community in that way, too. I'll call Anne and say, have you got somebody? But often it's people who have new books out or people who are just shining anyway.
Yeah.
And Anne and I decided we needed a lot more diversity, and so we started poking around at Black on Black.
Yeah, Black on Black rhyme.
Absolutely.
And spoken word, and I'm excited to invite more folks. We had a wonderful reader last time, and we're going to go to the Signature Lounge. I'll put in a plug for them, where they do the Black on Black rhyme experience to invite some more folks.
You know, it's so interesting that you brought up Black on Black rhymes. So I'm from Tallahassee, seven generations. So most of the things that I've done in my life have been done right here on this ground. And my introduction to not only poetry in some, you know, consistent way, but presentation in a lot of ways outside of like high school debate was Black on Black Rhymes way back in the day when it used to be at Amun Ra's or Nefertiti's.
Nefertiti's.
Keith, yeah, absolutely. Keith has been doing that work for a long time, a lot like you guys, stewards of art and culture. Your word, community, is one of my words. Mm. So I can't play with that one as much. But I will take another word that you used from your explanation, and it was anecdote, right? The remedy to mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put you on the spot here. What do you think art is a remedy to?
Oh, so much. I'm going to tell a little bit of my story in answer to that question, and that is that I have been working with currently and formerly incarcerated people mm-hmm. For many years, both as an adult education teacher and as part of the Big Bend After Reentry Coalition. And why that's relevant is because one of the things that I do is teach poetry classes and do poetry workshops in correctional facilities and in our community welcome center. Mm-hmm. For people who come together in workshops, whether they're this particular subset or people living in a shelter or people experiencing homelessness, whatever the situation, and then regular old the rest of us, sitting around a table with other people and sharing one's experience through the written word, and then passing and then commenting on each other's work and laughing together, it's one of the most healing experiences that I've witnessed that people have. Finally, I get to express myself. Finally, other people get to hear what I have to say.
Sure. Not only, I love that answer. Not only can it be a form of medicine like an anecdote, but it can also be a form of therapy to carry you
Absolutely.
Through and rehabilitate.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I yeah. could not agree more. Mm-hmm. You said, whenever I get stopped on the street and somebody recognizes my voice or my face, they'll say, hey, man, I love your radio program. And they always say, but you say absolutely so much. And so I think the people at home probably think absolutely is my favorite word. I pepper it on every
That's
sentence.
That's great.
So how have you all lived your life? Is there something about your individual backgrounds that have brought you to this place to be so instrumental and serve in the way that you do? Or was this random and by happenstance?
Absolutely. I grew up with a mother who was and had been an English major. She loved reading, she loved poetry, she loved nursery rhymes, she loved fiction. Mm. She bought me all the books that I wasn't supposed to be able to read yet. She didn't tell me I was too young for them. And I just read all these British novels and stuff. And she had me memorizing nursery rhymes when I was very young. And I think when I was 6 years old, they would have, this is so strange to me nowadays, this would never happen, but that I would perform for their company when they would have dinners together. I would perform poetry, nursery rhymes and stuff. And so she just did that for me, and I just always loved words for that reason.
What about you, Anne?
Well, I've been just journaling and writing poems ever since I can remember, certainly as a teenager and then all through college and taking workshops here and there. But coming to Tallahassee really was a breakthrough experience for me because very early on, I was introduced to a couple of other poets, and we started workshopping. And then I met Mary Jane and her workshops and her Appalachian Review and just the brilliant work that she's doing. And it really made me feel part of a community of writers to be here in Tallahassee. I was lucky to be able to be in the MFA program at FSU at the age of 50. I was the oldest student in most of my classes, but it was a blast. The professors were wonderful. And that also made me feel like I was part of a community of writers. And then bringing my poetry into prisons and jails was another piece of feeling part of a way larger group of people who find writing to be really valuable and important in their lives. And so, and we've got to talk about Appalachian Press.
Well, so I was going to say, which is a perfect segue, my next question was going to be, we have talked about so many of the offerings that you guys have given. Some of them are cultural offerings. Some of them are artistic offerings, community offerings. One of the offerings that I hope isn't missed on anybody is a more scholastic and educational offering because you guys are promoting literacy. And I'm an educator. Anybody who has been peripheral or directly involved in education knows that the promotion of literacy is the promotion of
That's
life.
Right. That's
it
right.
really is.
That's right.
Words are not only life mm-hmm. in a spiritual context, but they are life in a physical context. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me about that. What is the Appalachian Review, and what do you do with the Appalachian
okay.
Review?
Okay, the Appalachian Review is the quarterly that comes out that Rafael Gamero is in charge of, and mm-hmm. he collects work from all over the country, even outside the country, and we select the best stuff. Mm-hmm. What I'm doing now is a branch of it, Appalachie Press, which is taking people's beautiful art and making it into books, and mostly for people in the community.
Publishing?
Publishing it. And for example, Anne had, she's always written beautifully, absolutely beautifully. And, you know, I knew that long ago. And when I started this, I thought, Anne's got to have a manuscript. So I asked her for one. And she had this beautiful manuscript of poetry and gave it to me to read. And it was, of course, gorgeous. And there was one piece of it that broke my heart, that didn't fit into the book. Mm-hmm. So I said, we're going to have to pull that one out and make its own separate book because it's so beautiful. And that's something most publishers would not do.
Sure.
You know, just pull it out and say, oh, we're going to make two books instead of one. You know? So she's got one book that's already out and is doing fabulously, even though it's poetry and people are terrified of poetry. Anne is a people's poet. She doesn't confuse you with huge, large language or metaphors that you might not understand at all. She's very on the street with her poetry.
I love that. I love that. On the ground, an ear close to it,
which
isn't, you know, these conversations come up all the time. And so I know exactly what you meant. But just in case anybody misunderstands you, sometimes the art that's closest to the ground is in some way seen as kitsch or diminished. But we know now, historically, that it is usually the most prescient form of art, you know, the craftspeople to the pay people, or graffiti to fine art. Art that trickles in through the ground level is the art that we continue to talk about. And even when it's not, it's the reason that we're talking art anyways. And so I took that as an extreme compliment, as I'm sure you did too, Anne. That was incredible. Let me ask you this. Are there any direct ambitions that you have for Sunday in the Word Garden? Or would you just like it to stay exactly as it is?
I wrote some big ideas. Yes, I do. I have big ideas. We want writers from FAMU and FSU and TSC. Mm. We want high schoolers. We want journalists. I'd love it if we had a month, for example, for elementary school kids to do haikus. They're better at haikus than we are by a long shot because they don't use abstractions. They're really on the ground with it. Middle schoolers who write sonnets to their sweethearts who they don't really have. Whatever. I would really love for us to get kids involved. And so would Paul Brock.
Yeah.
He mentioned that. So, yes, I want it to grow. I want it to grow in a more outreach.
In an inclusive way.
Yes,
sure.
Inclusive. Yeah.
Absolutely. That seems like it would be an incredible addition with all of these new voices coming in. Anne?
Yeah, and just to add, so that people realize we're not just talking about poets either. Poets, it's been wonderful that so many people have been drawn to poetry because it can seem so inaccessible. But we also have one of our hosts is a storyteller, for example. We want to have people who write screenplays and who are playwrights. You can read nonfiction and fiction, short fictional pieces, so to really broaden the scope of what's read as well.
Absolutely. You know, in closing, I would like to say that a pat on the back is one thing. And I hope this doesn't just sound like a pat on the back. I really believe that the foundation of art is exposure, right? Allowing people to see it. I not only think that you guys are doing great work, but I actually think that you're doing the highest endeavor of work because it's open. It's not ticketed. Nobody's running you off. Everybody has the same access to that beautiful backdrop at Tallahassee Nursery as the person sitting beside them. And it shouldn't be lost that the reason for that is because of you. Is there anything that you guys would like us to know that we haven't talked about today, since you're the ones doing the work?
Just to reiterate that community, nature, words, all of the words that we've said today come together in one place for a very joyful hour and a half, and it's very special, and we're very excited about it continuing. I'm very appreciative of your spotlighting it today.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
And I don't think we realized we needed the Word Garden until we got it, and it filled us with joy and maybe buoyancy.
My my old man, I was raised by a Southern Baptist preacher, and he was also a man of words, sometimes too long-winded, but a man of words nonetheless. And he would always quote this one verse, "Don't muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. The person that works, you should be able to reap the benefit of the work." Hope desperately that you all are reaping the benefits of your work.
Absolutely.
In closing, I would like to return to the question that I asked you. What is your favorite word or your most important word? I don't want to go into mine, but I will say for this programming, while I was hearing you guys talk, the only word that I could think about was fecund, right? F-E-C-U-N-D.
Yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
It's a play on the garden, or maybe it's a play on the work that you do, but the ability for things to grow lushly.
Beautiful.
We are so glad that you guys have stewarded this garden and allowed it to grow so lushly. And I am so glad that you tuned in for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.